The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Bob Burney Live.
This is really a bizarre story about one of America's best known preachers. No, not Billy Graham. No, not D.L. Moody. You got to go back farther than that. Historically, George Whitefield. Now, if you are not familiar with George Whitefield, you need to become familiar with George Whitefield. I learned about George Whitefield in a public high school in Compton, California, because the Great Awakening was a huge part of early American history, and George Whitefield was one of the primary movers within the Great Awakening. It was back in the 1740s, before the Declaration of Independence. I would doubt very, very seriously if George Whitefield is ever mentioned in a public high school today. And that's sad, because again, you cannot study American history without looking at the spiritual aspect of America. Let's not forget, the pilgrims came here for religious reasons, spiritual reasons. They didn't come here primarily for political reasons. They came here for religious reasons. You cannot study American history apart from the religious influence of our history. The separation of church and state. You cannot understand that unless you have studied the Danbury, Connecticut Baptists. That whole thing of the separation of church and state came about from a letter written by the Baptists of Danbury, Connecticut, to Thomas Jefferson. They were afraid that the government was going to interfere in their religious practices. And they had reason to fear because of the previous living in England under the king, the Church of England, and so on and so forth. And so Thomas Jefferson writes to the Danbury Baptists and says, hey, don't worry about it. We will never interfere with you because we have established a wall of separation between church and state. Now, if you look at the context, that whole thing, and by the way, the wall of separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. Most Americans believe it is. It isn't. It's in a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury, Connecticut Baptists. And in it, Thomas Jefferson said, don't fear the government. We will keep the government out of your church. It was not written to assure that the church could not participate in government, but that the government could not participate in the church. Today, that's, you know, been turned around. Anyway, George Whitefield, famous American preacher from England. And he was one of the leaders of the Great Awakening, this revival that swept through the colonies back in the mid-1700s. Well, George Whitefield died at the age of 55. I didn't know that. And he died while he was staying in the parsonage at the Old South Presbyterian Church in Newburyport, Massachusetts. He was only 55. But again, back there, the life expectancy was probably in the 40s or the 50s. Some of our founding fathers lived to be in their 80s, which was very rare at that time. Well, Again, back then in the mid-1700s, when someone died, they buried them very quickly, like it's done in many parts of the world today. America is unique in the sense that someone dies, we take them to the funeral home, they embalm the body, and they can wait days, weeks, they can even wait months before the funeral. Well, that was not the case back then. Anyway, he died when he was 55. He had preached the night before in the pulpit of Old South Presbyterian Church in Newburyport, Massachusetts. He died when he was 55, and he was buried, I think it was the very next day, beneath the pulpit. They dug out a crypt underneath the pulpit, and they did that to honor his memory. They dug out a crypt underneath the pulpit, buried his body, covered it up, put the pulpit over the top of it, and it was to be a perpetual memorial of the work, the ministry, the life of George Whitefield. Now, he was from London, and his wife and children obviously outlived him. They moved back to London, and his wife and children were buried in London. Now, because he was well-known in London as well, after he died, a funeral service was held in London, and guess who preached the sermon? John Wesley. Now, that's fascinating because Whitefield was a Calvinist. Wesley was, well, he was a Methodist. He was Wesley. He was Arminian. So you have one of the world's most famous Calvinists dies in America. There is a memorial service in London, and one of the world's best-known Arminians, John Wesley, had his funeral. Anyway, what in the world does that have to do with this story? The great-great-niece of George Whitefield is demanding that his body be dug up. The better term is exhumed. After all these years, he died in, I don't know what year, 1740-something. And his great-niece, representing the Whitefield family, is demanding that the Old South Presbyterian Church exhume his body, ship it back to London, England, where he can be buried next to his wife and his children. His niece wrote this to the church: "It is my wish to go to Newburyport and finally collect my Uncle George's body and flying back to Gloucester, England, so that he may rest in peace alongside his wife and child in the church he first preached in and attended as a child in school." His niece is attempting to raise approximately $50,000 to have him exhumed, the body flown back to England, and buried there in England. Well, evidently, and I had no idea about that, and by the way, the church in Massachusetts, nope. They are saying, no way, no. But I didn't know this, but in the late 1770s, several churches argued for the body of George Whitefield from the Old South Presbyterian Church. That was back in the 1770s. And the Old South Presbyterian Church said, nope. At least three other times, campaigns were launched to have his body exhumed and shipped back to England. One of the largest campaigns was in 1931. And that one failed as well. So, since the 1700s, people have been battling for the body of George Whitefield, and this time it is his great great niece. Her name is it's not important. It's a strange name. It's not important. Kinderline. Her name is Kinderline. That's her first name. Kinderline Whitfield. So it looks like the third, fourth, maybe fifth attempt to get George Whitfield dug up in Massachusetts and shipped to England is going to fail again. That fascinating after all these years? My goodness! Let his body rest in peace. Wow. All right, we're gonna take the final break of the hour, and then we'll be back.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, it is football season. NFL preseason is in full-blown array. College football started last Saturday, and for us here in Buckeye Country, the season kicks off this coming Saturday with Florida Atlantic University. Now, it's going to be interesting. Well, no, it's not going to impact it. I was going to say Florida Atlantic University. The hurricane is heading towards the Atlantic coast of Florida, but it's not going to get there until Sunday night, Monday. The game is Saturday. I'm sure the team will fly in on Friday. So anyway, I came across an article, and maybe you've heard this, but the reigning national champions, Clemson. Dabo Sweeney is the coach of Clemson University. And the first full-blown news conference of the football season for the reigning national champion is obviously a big deal. I love this. I've never met Dabo Sweeney in person, but I pray for him. And the reason I pray for him is because he has been very, very outspoken about his trust and faith in Christ. He kind of wears his faith on his sleeve. He's gotten himself in trouble before for it. I'm sure he probably will again. But the reason I pray for him is that a whole lot of skeptics will want him to fail. They'll want him to fall. They want him to get caught with something so they can say, yeah, that's another one of those phony Christians. Well, I don't think Dabo Sweeney is phony, but he is human. And there is a target on his back because he's such an outspoken Christian. But anyway, here's the cool thing. He took the very first press conference of this new football season as the coach of the reigning national champions to give glory to God. Yeah, and he was very, very open and honest about it. Quote, Clemson head coach Dabo Sweeney said during his press conference this week, he wants his team to focus on one word this year, purpose. But Sweeney, whose team is ranked number one in the major polls, defines purpose differently than many other football fans would. Dabo Sweeney said, my word is purpose this year. My purpose is a man. My purpose is a father. My purpose is a husband. And then our purpose is a program. And then also, helping my staff and my players find and fulfill their purpose. I'm just really convicted on that. We've had a lot of success. I'm going into year 11, but we've stayed true to who we are the whole way. I know what my purpose as a man is, and that is to glorify God. That's to be a great husband and father, and it's to use the game of football to equip young people for life. It's just that simple. Isn't that cool? I love that. He said again, I'm just really convicted on that. We've had a lot of success. I'm going into year 11. But we've stayed true to who we are the whole way. I know what my purpose as a man is, and that's to glorify God. Listen to his priorities here. And I hope and pray that he means it and he keeps them. I know what my purpose as a man is, and that's to glorify God. That's to be a great husband and father. And it's to use the game of football to equip young people for life. It's just that simple. God first, wife second, children third, football fourth. Well, he has obviously had an incredible career. And according to the article ends with, Dabo Swinney has never been shy about discussing his faith. Following last year's national championship victory, he told a national TV audience, for me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus, others, and yourself. And most of you have heard that. Joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's just cool. But as I said, because of his outspoken testimony for Christ, there are going to be a whole lot of people just hoping and praying that he fails in some way so they can point their finger and say, there's just another hypocritical Christian. But it's a reminder, folks, to all of us. If we are vocal about our faith, and we should be, then we are called to a higher standard. Once we make our faith known, we are called to a higher standard. I realized that very, very early when I was pastoring, that God held me to a different standard than the rest of my congregation. I knew that. I realized that. And it was a heavy, heavy, heavy burden. But I carry basically the same burden here as the talk show host, because I'm on a Christian station. I am very vocal about my faith, my dependence on Christ, my adherence and allegiance to the Word of God. But it's true for all of us. And I think that's why maybe many people are not very vocal about their faith. They realize that if people looked at their life, they would see a great deal of hypocrisy. At some time or another, all of us are hypocritical in one way or another because we're humans. But folks, it's an old, old, old cliche, but you and I may be the only Bible someone reads. That is so true. Make sure that the people around you know that you're a follower of Christ. But remember the responsibility that comes with that. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful evening. Lord willing, we'll be back at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. But wherever you go and whatever you do, please, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Listen. Think. Think. Discern. Discern.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.